Good afternoon, everyone. As some of you know, this gospel, Matthew chapter 14, is one of my favorite passages. So much spiritual depth that we can derive from it. I want to focus, though, on just a couple of parts or a couple of aspects of this gospel, particularly really looking at the figure of St. Peter. This gospel, along with so many other gospel passages, really show us the humanity and the weakness of St. Peter. He's got the best intentions. He wants to love and follow the Lord, but he's constantly messing up. He's constantly putting his foot in his mouth. He's constantly stepping out of his bounds. He's constantly in his bravado, moving forward, but then ultimately messing up. And we see today here, he's willing to take the step out of the boat in this horrible storm. But he begins to worry about the wind and begins to drown and calls out to the Lord for him to save him. Peter is a character. Peter is an individual that we can all sort of connect with and empathize with because we realize his humanity. The other very important thing that we see in the gospel is how Jesus treats Peter. Here in this passage, when Peter calls out to Jesus, "Save me," Jesus doesn't say, "Oh no, I'm going to let you drown for a little bit, you stupid idiot. Why didn't you trust me? I'm God." He immediately reaches down and pulls him up. And he corrects him. He says, "Oh, you of little faith." He doesn't condemn him. He doesn't chastise him. He doesn't humiliate him or shame him. He picks him up and he moves on with Peter. Again, Peter has made mistakes before and he's going to make mistakes again. But Jesus never tires of forgiving Peter and restoring him and helping him to move forward. In addition, we notice that Jesus will never bring this up again. In a few weeks, he's not going to say, "Hey, Peter, remember when you did that stupid thing and you almost drowned, but I saved you? Why did you do that?" The Lord never does that with Peter, and in a real way, he never does it with us. That's how his mercy is expressed in our lives. When we make a mistake, when we sin and we fall, our Lord is there to pick us up. He may correct us a little bit, but he's never going to shame us. He's never going to accuse us. Whenever we feel that, it's either from ourselves or from the evil one. The Lord is always there to move forward. And then finally, and again, it's something that we see here, but you have to put it within the context of the entire gospel. Peter never lets his mistakes discourage him. He never says, "Oh man, I messed up again. I'm out of here. I give up. Jesus is never going to love me." Peter never gets discouraged. He's like that little dog I saw on a video today, a little pug chasing after a blueberry. He sat there for 2 minutes trying to get that blueberry. He never got discouraged. That's what Peter's like. He trusts in the Lord's mercy. He's tenacious. He's never going to give up. He wants us to press forward. I think Peter, in a real way, is the embodiment of St. Therese's little way. Not so much doing small things, but never getting discouraged and always trusting in the Lord's mercy. Therese, who we know as the little flower, said, "Yes, it suffices to humble oneself, to bear with one's imperfections. That is real sanctity." Peter, even though he made mistakes so many times, never gave up, never was discouraged, always trusted in God's mercy, and therefore he was able to respond to God's grace and truly become holy. Peter gives us a great example of how we should be in our own spiritual lives. People come to me, "Father, I keep committing the same sin over and over and over again." They get discouraged. They feel the Lord has abandoned them. Peter teaches us, never get discouraged. Always trust in the Lord's mercy. But here's the part that I really want to elaborate on, and I'm going to take a turn in a direction that some of you may not expect, is that Peter, in all of his weakness, in all of his fallenness, in all of his sinfulness, we can't forget is an apostle. Which means what? That he is a priest, he is a bishop, and he is ultimately the Pope. So this passage and all the other passages we see, where Peter sins, where he denies knowing Jesus, where he puts his foot in his mouth, it shows us that priests and bishops and yes, even popes are human. We make mistakes. We sin, sometimes in very large ways. Now, I'm not saying that Peter, our priests and bishops here, are all corrupt. There are some that are corrupt. There are some that are criminal. We're talking about individuals who are sinners, just like everybody else, who are weak, just like everybody else, and in need of the Lord's mercy. And so just as the Lord shows everyone mercy, and Peter mercy, he shows priests, bishops, and the Pope mercy also. I have this quote, which I really love, from Pope Francis, and he's talking about Peter and Peter's weakness and the mercy the Lord showed to him and shows to priests and bishops throughout the world. He said, Peter was a sinner, but not corrupt. Not corrupt, making a distinction here. Sinners, yes, everyone. Corrupt, no. I once knew of a priest, a good parish pastor who worked well. He was appointed bishop, and he was ashamed because he did not feel worthy. He had a spiritual torment, and he went to the confessor. The confessor heard him and said, but do not worry. If after the mess Peter made of things, they made him pope, then you can go ahead and be made bishop. The point is that this is how the Lord is. That's the way he is. The Lord makes us mature with many meetings with him, even with our weaknesses, when we recognize them with our sins. You know what? It's never an excuse for sin for any of us, particularly for priests and bishops. But it's a reminder that we are all in this together. Jesus never says, hey, wait a second. You messed up too big, Peter. You're not Pope anymore. I'm going to make Andrew Pope. He never abandons him. In the same way, we have got to understand the great mercy of Christ also extends to Christ's priests, bishops, and even popes. Christ forgives, and that is the real message we see in the gospel. However, and here's the point, we understand that Christ is so willing to forgive his priests, his bishops, and his popes when they sin. But that's not necessarily the case with all Catholics. It's not necessarily the case with all Catholics. This week, as some of you know, we had this retreat for married couples. So beautiful. 80 married couples for a whole weekend of prayer and coming to know themselves and know the Lord better. And we did this little sort of acting out demonstration where there was one couple who was making their 25th wedding anniversary. And I was the priest and we renewed their vows. But in it, in this renewal of the vows, we kind of saw, and using a little sort of play acting or role playing, how quite often, even though the church is there willing to accept the couple can turn their backs on Christ and the church, and they can turn their backs on each other. And so everybody had a chance to share who was a part of this, and they asked me, well, Father, what did you think? And I said, it's very, very beautiful, but there's something that's missing. Because quite often, the priest can turn his back on the couple, and sometimes the couple can turn their back on the priest. What do I mean by that? The reality is we priests can do things in our own humanity and our own fallenness that do scandalize and hurt people. But the reality is the lay people are called to still forgive the priest. Now understand that we're human too. But the reality is this doesn't always happen. First is the priests have got to understand that when we make mistakes, we've got to be willing to ask for forgiveness. And sometimes it's hard. It's always hard to ask for forgiveness. Remember in a previous assignment, one of my pet peeves, and you know it, particularly the people back there know it, I don't like people leaving Mass after communion. It is one of the rudest things that you can do. It's like Judas who left the first Mass early. And I have a hot temper. I had a much hot temper back then, and I'd see people leave, and I'd snap. And there was one couple, I remember leaving one of the Masses, it wasn't at Wisdom,
And I got so upset, I said, listen, you tell those people who just left that they need to come back to church. Mass didn't count. Everybody got a giggle out of it. They knew my temperament. But after Mass, someone said, Father, I want to let you know that couple left, not because they were leaving early, because the man was vomiting in the back pew. And I went like this, and then he said, oh yeah, and you're marrying them next week. A little bit further. So, I guess the Lord gave me the grace. I called them immediately and said, I am so sorry. I will never do that again. Please forgive me. And they forgave me. I did the wedding, and we're still very, very good friends today. In fact, I went to the bulletin and at every Mass and apologized for doing it. Something that I realized important, my willingness to ask for forgiveness. Well, there have been times that I've done things, or other priests have done things, out of our own weakness, out of our own fallenness, that people have not been willing to forgive. And that's what I shared at our little talking yesterday. One of the things that hurts the priest the most, we spend all of our time showing mercy to people, hearing hours and hours of confessions. The smallest little thing a priest does, right off the priest and right off the church. I could give you countless examples of priests that I know in myself. Remember when I first got here, I have a big, big crowd around me, and there was someone who wanted to say hello, and I didn't even notice them. And so word got back to me, because I didn't say hello to them, they left the church. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. This is how people can be. We have got to be willing to show mercy to priests. Because whenever things like this happen, if whether we apologize or not, and we're treated this way, it hurts a lot. And it gives a great scandal. At one small little thing that you wouldn't write off your best friend for, or your parents for, or the person that you knew at work for, you write off the priest and make an excuse to abandon Christianity and abandon the church. We're all human. We all have bad days. Priests have to put up with your weakness, and I ask you to please, with me and with other priests and bishops, to put up with our weakness too. Never an excuse for criminal activity. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the sins and the foibles and the things that we all do and learn to put up with because we are part of the body of Christ. If Christ can show mercy to everyone, we have got to realize that we have got to show that same mercy to everyone too. Whether it be our friends and our family, but the priests also, the bishops also, and the Pope also. That's the message of today's gospel. We are all in it together. And we're going to be judged according to the mercy that we show to other people. Let's be people of mercy, seeing Christ's example, accepting it in our own lives, and be willing to give it to everyone. Not holding grudges, not putting people on these standards that are unrealistic, not making excuses, but being great apostles of mercy, not only in what we say, but more importantly, in what we do. Amen.